Well, who cares? Good morning. John chapter 1. Let's read the first 14 verses. I'll read the first and you read the second, so on till verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life, and the light was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this great gospel message, this good news message that men can believe and be saved. Give me a freedom and an ease to speak and teach that only you can give. Bless every heart that's here. Draw those of us closer to you that will come. And God, just have your way in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I may not get through all 14 verses or not, but at any rate, this is a very good book. When I first got saved, I got saved by reading the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I would not recommend that. That's not the way to start reading the Bible. Over the years, after a year or so, I developed some habits because I was witnessing to a lot of people, and therefore, if you witness to them and you win them, they sometimes look to you for advice, you know, and for whatever. And I was a very young Christian. But I learned right quick that the Gospel of John was what I would tell him to read. Read it five times before you read anything else in the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. Then read the book of Romans five times. Then start at the New Testament. And then go back. You understand what I mean? And there's a reason for that. Now, you remember in chapter 20, you ought to have these verses marked in your Bible. You really ought to have it so that it would stun you or get your attention every time you looked at it. And many other signs. So this is the book of signs. John is going to be a book of seven or eight signs. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. They're eyewitnesses. That's what he's telling you. They're not written in this book, which are not written in this book. I believe that the other Gospels were already circulating. And I believe John probably had seen them. And he has picked out certain ones to put in his book. He picked out about seven signs and about seven miracles. He has some very interesting things there. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Where do you want to go when you want to witness somebody? You ought to go to the book of John. One of the greatest verses known worldwide is John 3:16. It's probably been printed more than any other portion of scripture. Maybe the 23rd Psalm or something like that might run close. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, I wrote my name in there one day. Amen. Whosoever, that includes Lendl. That if Lendl Kincaid would believe on the name, he'd be saved. Wow. Is there anything more important I don't think of anything. I don't think even many things that happen with your children and with your family and with your job and with your health, I don't think there's anything that compares to the salvation of a soul and the salvation of your soul. Wow, I'm saved and I know it. I've won the sweepstakes. You can't give me anything any better. My sins are forgiven. My soul saved and changed. Wow. You ought to get excited about that. Amen. It ought to excite you every day. I just love the book of John. Beautiful thing there. But he said, these are written. Now, sometimes in the books of the Bible, some of us preachers like to think we're smart and we try to tell you why they wrote it. Well, John didn't leave that to us. John told you why he wrote it. He said, these are written. What are they written for? That you might believe. Now, what? Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the coming King, the Lord of Lords, greatest name. Every knee's got to bow to that name. Things in heaven, things on the earth, things under the earth. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your reasoning is. I know what this says, and it's just as plain as day. You don't have to try to insult people or to offend them. All you got to do is preach the gospel. Do you know this is an offense to people meeting in churches, even Protestant churches, all across the world? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you might have life through his name. Wow. Wow. There's lots of people out there, they're working for it this morning. I was sort of raised that way. Good boys go to heaven, bad boys go to hell. I thought about my works were the thing. Well, my works are just a result of what I believe. And yours are too. Your works are what you believe. If you believed enough in what this book says, you wouldn't do some of the works you're doing right now. That's true. Amen or oh me. These are written. Believe Jesus is the Christ. Not that you keep the law and you're perfect and you satisfy God. And Jesus is the only one ever satisfied God. And the more I read of the New Testament, the more I read of the Bible, it just all fits and it's beautiful. And I would sure hate to try to go to heaven on my works. And I bet I've done more than most of you. I've been preaching 62 years, just about, September 1st. I won a lot of souls, supposedly. You know, I talked to them and convinced them and hoping the Holy Spirit did it. But I've been doing this for a long time. I got a change in one day's time believing this. One day. I smoked 16 years from 5 to 20. I drank socially. I was drunk only one time in my life. I wasn't a drunk. But that one time, I vomited all over my nice car. You realize that vomit takes a long time to get out of a car. And my daddy didn't give me a hard time about a lot of things, but he just always, the way he raised me was, you make your decisions, but then you got to live with them. I like to never got the smell of that vomit out of that car. It was a nice car, but oh man, every time I got in it, Billy and I were looking for a car when I bought this one. And they said, oh yeah, this is a non-smoker's car. Shoot. We got in that thing. Wow. It hit us right away. They were lying big time. It was a smoker's car. And, wow. Think of all of that. And I got saved and quit smoking just because I thought a preacher shouldn't smoke. Wow. The changes that have come. I'd have died a long time ago with a black lung. Poor people today Poor people today are out there suffering. I mean, their throats are gone, their lungs are gone, their heart's gone. All the blessings of being saved, but I didn't do that to get saved. I did that as a result of getting saved. And praise the Lord. These are written. What's the purpose of this book? Why should you know this book better than any other one? This one and the book of Romans, actually. Because these are written that you might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you might have life through His name. Only believe. Only believe. If you believe right, it'll change your whole life. The reason why some people are having a lot of problems in their life and they can't walk a Christian life like they ought to, they don't believe enough. I agree with you, honey. Such preaching. Now let's look back to chapter 1. Since it had been almost a month since I gave the introduction, I figured I'd go over it a little bit. But look at this chapter here. Now, it is completely different than any of the other Gospels. You notice two of them have genealogies, proving probably that Joseph and Mary were both out of the tribe of David. And don't know where I was going with that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I know where I was going. John went all the way back to before the world was born. John didn't go to the genealogy. That was already been established in Matthew and Luke. And so John says, in the beginning. How about that? What was in the beginning? The Word. That's another name for Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's what, he's got a bunch of names. And that's a beautiful name. The Word. What can you do with a word? You can make up all sorts of things. I got several big dictionaries at the house and they don't have all the words. They're still making new ones. And, wow, 100,000, 500,000. I don't know how many words there are in the English language. And like I said, they're making new ones all the time. The Word is and can be made whatever you want it to be. Jesus can be whatever He wants to be. And in here in this case, the Word was the Creator. He spoke the Word. What does it say about Genesis when you read? God spoke the Word. And what does it say here? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Now here we are, you got your Trinity right up here in the very first thing. The Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. Explain that to me, brother. I can't. To me, it's an impossibility. But as far as I'm concerned, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are not three separate distinct personalities. It's one personality, one mind, one thinking manifested to us in three ways. And that's a simple way for me to put it. And the Bible uses the word manifested several times. How was God? What did you think about God? What did the Jews think about God? Well, you can read the Old Testament. You can find that out. And He's the great I Am. He's the great invisible. No man has seen God any time. Nobody can see God. And then He's the all-powerful I Am. That's almost like the Word. I Am. Whatever you want, I Am. Whatever you need, I Am. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything you need. Wow. That's something else. What is Jesus? And we're going to see it several places in the book of John. He's God revealed. He's God where you can understand Him. He's God where you can think with Him. He's God in your situation. He's God. You have this picture of God in the Old Testament. There's a complete different picture of God. It's the same personality, the same thinking, the same being. There's one God manifested in three ways. Now, some people have a problem. There is nobody that understands the Trinity. There have been more religious fights over how to explain the Trinity than you can shake a stick at. You can just read them all you want to. The greatest preachers read their sermons. They can't understand it either because it doesn't fit in our little 3.5-pound brain. You think you're so smart? I don't know how big God's brain is, but it's a whole lot bigger than yours. A whole lot bigger than mine, I know for sure. All right. The Word was God. So the Word was in the beginning. It was with God, and it was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. Here's another statement. All things were made by Him. By who? The Word. He's the Creator. All things were made by Him. That's, He was in the beginning. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Have you realized what God has made? Have you thought about it? I was talking to a brother before services, and I had a thought this last week, and it stuck with me, still with me. How much I owe. How much I owe. I certainly owe the preachers that came to me and talked to me. I owe the friend that was newly saved himself that wanted me to hear the gospel. I owe the preacher that came out and spent 3 hours arguing with me at night, 7 to 11. I owe the preacher that was the pastor of the church. He was a very good preacher and a good man, solid man. I even owe the people that came to that church that didn't do anything but drop their money in. Because that provided a place where the gospel could be preached. I owe them. You do too. It's not just the big evangelist. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not just the personal witness that you owe. You owe the ones that taught them. Maybe I owe a little bit that I think I do to that Methodist church I was raised in. They made me memorize scriptures out of a King James. That's what they used. They didn't have the other one at that church when I went there. And then they taught me, and they thought they'd got me where they ought to be, and so they sprinkled a little water on my head at 11 and put me through a catechism class and said I was saved. But then I had to keep it. But I still owe them. Owe a lot of people. How do you know how you're going to influence somebody? I mean somebody, the boy that's sacking your groceries. The kid that's out there at the wash tub and he's rubbing the car down. And you tell him, invite you to church sometime. Do you know Jesus? You just don't know. You know what it's going to turn to. You listen to enough people that have gotten saved and have their testimony. And as you listen to them, you see different things that triggered somebody. Maybe it's a worker for the city that carries a New Testament that's marked up and gives it away to fellow worker. Hey, would you like this? You owe a lot of people. And as I thought this week, I owe a lot of people. I owe a mom and dad that had a Bible in the house. I owe a mom and dad that believed. They weren't great Christians. They weren't really faithful Christians, as I would consider today. And yet, they believed. I knew they believed. They believed that Bible was the Word of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, and they taught that to me, and that's exactly what I believed. How many people do we owe? We owe a lot of people. We owe a lot of people over a lot of years that carried this same message. Do you realize these guys were almost like Arabs? They were Bedouins. They lived in tents. And God picked them out and made them his people. And they preserved the Word of God all the way down through the years. And they taught their kids to read and write so they could understand the Word of God. And that's how you and I have it. And in the New Testament, probably most of them, there were probably some Gentiles written something in here, but most of them were Jews. And they owed the preaching of John the Baptist. Now here's a Jew. He's a fanatic Jew. I mean, he lives on locusts and wild honey. I live on steak. I am a secondhand vegetarian. The cows eat the vegetables and I eat the cows. I think it's better than that. You should all laugh. I love it. But these people preserved the Word of God even when they went through terrible persecution. I'm so thankful they were. What about these 12 apostles? Do you know what they did? They went all over the world. One of them died in this place, and one of them died in that place, and one of them died in another place. And this guy, John, right here, he lived maybe the oldest of all of them, probably in his 90s, on the Isle of Patmos, where he writes the book of Revelation. And that's the last part of the word. It's finished up. Wow. We owe some people. They paid a price to get you this book. We owe some people in America. The freedom we have. I'm thankful for anybody that goes up and gets freedom for preaching the word or believing like you want to believe. I thank God for the word of God. So he starts at the beginning and he tells us God created all these things. All things were made by him. Now, have you thought about what was made? They're talking about how many worlds there are out there in the universes, and there may be, I don't know. It staggers my mind the number of stars they think are out there and the expanse of the whole universe. That blows my mind, really. Have you ever thought about this earth? Billy every once in a while mentions it. There's no artificial food. It's got to come out of this ground. The seed's got to be planted. The animals have to eat it. You have to eat it. And it's all from God. Now, we know of several thousand. This Bible carries us up to about, I guess, 4,000 B.C. That'd be about 6,000 years we're thinking of in here. Now, some people talk about multiplied millions and even billions of years. I don't know about that. I'll go with the book. You know what's happening? Dirt. You're made out of dirt. You dirty thing, you. You're made out of dirt. You eat dirt. What do you think went into those plants that you are so happy about? It's dirt. Water and dirt and a seed. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? That is a grand scheme. Yet so simple. It's like a great rule of law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Isn't that amazing? That works in every place. It works spiritually. It works financially. It works physically. It works for the farmer. It works for the businessman. It works for you in your life. What you sow in your life, you're going to reap in your life. If you had some good parents, you ought to really thank God for them. They saved you a lot of trouble. Wow. Somebody that believed the book and wanted you to do right and stayed with with the wife and mother, and had the man and woman both in the family there to raise that kid. You need them all. How much we owe? It's just tremendous in my mind. Okay, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. There aren't two creators. It's just one. And that's God. And what he created keeps reproducing itself. It is amazing to me how a place can have a volcanic eruption, and it blows the top off a mountain and a hill and spreads lava and dirt and everything like that over, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And a few years later, there's plants growing on it. A few years later, it's got a rebirth. And how this stuff is so magical. Now, I sometimes make fun of dirt. Now, I tell somebody they're dumb as dirt. In my sweet way. Dumb as dirt. Dirt's not dumb. You ever thought about that? Have you thought what comes out of dirt? Everything you eat, whether it's beef, or whether it's tomatoes, or corn, or cabbage, or kale. Kale? Do you eat kale? I don't eat kale. If it looks green, I don't generally eat it. I'm lying, you know. Just making fun. God made this ball. I think it's a very peculiar ball. They're talking about growing things on Mars. I'm not too sure you're going to grow anything on Mars. But I know where you can grow it. Right here. On this earth. That God prepared this earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. You owe it all to God. This dirt and this earth just keeps turning around. In the 119th Psalm, that is one of the proofs of the psalmist that God is faithful. It just keeps turning. And it keeps renewing itself. When we had the atom bomb and we used it in World War II, we were thinking that it would just destroy things so much they'd never be able to do anything on it again. Well, look at Nagasaki. They're growing plenty right over there. They got it built up again. Some of these places, whatever happens on this earth, this is an earth that has a reproductive system in everything. Now we make fun, and there's a whole lot of sin goes on with human reproduction and sexual sins. You ever seen mosquitoes? They have sex. Horses. How about slugs? Worms? Sex is in all of them. You want to get mad at the men because they're chasing all the girls? Well, look at the bulls. What are they doing? They're doing the same thing. You better have a tight fence if you got a bull and their cows in the other fence, over the fence. God created this thing, and we just keep reproducing, and it keeps going on. Wow, what a creation. To me, it's fascinating. It really is. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In Ephesians 3:9 it says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to every problem you face. Jesus Christ created everything that you see. And wow. Look at Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you know why this spinning ball doesn't throw everything out? Because Jesus keeps it here. He's in control. He's still in control. He set it going. He put these laws of nature into effect. And you got to live with them or die. You realize that? You're going to live his way or you're going to die. You go out in the desert without water and you think you're going to live out there without water? No, I don't think you would. You better find water. If you don't find water, you're going to die. Now, if those balls of things in the heavens out there don't have water, how are they going to have any life? The Bible calls water of life. And you know what it is? It makes all the difference in your crop, how much you water it. Getting very expensive to water your yard or your garden today. Because we got so many people and so much going on, and water is so much of everything. One of the great oil men said, water is the new oil. And they buy wells. They sure do. In Revelation 22:13, he said, I am Alpha and Omega. That is the beginning letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That's the A to Z. I am, that's what Jesus said. Now this is his last message to man. It's at the end of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Revelation. Not just Revelation itself, but the whole Revelation. It's done, it's complete, it's finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Wow. The beginning and the end? That's who he is. You wouldn't have had a beginning. He's the end. He's going to finish it up. The world is not going to take over God's power. They think they are. They're running roughshod over many people in the world. And there's some people that live in your neighborhood and some people that live in your city that would just like to run roughshod over you, and they'll do what they can until somebody cuts them down. But somebody will. Somewhere down the line, somebody's going to cut them down. And if they have it all the way here, there's a judgment coming. You know what? Read the last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. And then smart off against God. That's your future. That is your future there. That book of Revelation has got it all laid out. And here's Jesus. Said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the first and I'm the last. Who are we dealing with? We're dealing with God. And that's what this book was given to you for. For you to have a revelation of God. And this little book, 22 chapters maybe, 20 pages or so, this little book is here to teach you Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. And by the grace of God, how did you get life? Wow. Somebody brought it to you. And they brought it by a message. And they didn't have the power to give you life. I get tickled all the time. We talk about soul winners. And I've even thought of myself as a soul winner, and I thought of some of you as soul winners. We're out trying to win people's souls for Christ, and yet nobody gets saved without God. Do you know what? It's a miracle every time somebody gets saved. Now, people can come down the aisle, they can get on their knees, they can pray, no telling what kind of prayers they're praying, or you could read a prayer to them and have them pray just this doctrinally sound prayer. That doesn't mean they got saved. It takes God to bring salvation. It takes God. And when God goes someplace, things change. I would really doubt my salvation if I really didn't like the Bible, really didn't like church, really didn't like Christians. I'd be a little worried whether or not I'm saved or not. God changed me. I had religion. I had religion. I was a Methodist. I married my wife. She was a better Christian than I was, I figured. So wasn't much difference between Methodist and Baptist, but a little bit of water. And I said, okay, I'm saved. And they baptized me. Didn't change me. I got out there in the military, and a guy so bashful. Some of you that do not witness because you are so bashful. This guy was an old tech sergeant, and he was as bashful as anybody I've ever known. But he came over to my house. Lived next door to each other. We were good friends. He said, Lendell, I got saved, and I want you to talk to a preacher. I want you to come to church with me. Berlin was really pregnant with Billy. Very pregnant, because she wasn't like most people. She carried in between her hips, and she looked like she's 6 months, but she was ready. I said, no, we don't want to go to church. She's tired. I don't mind. So we went to church, and that was the night when the Holy Spirit just really hit me. I'm sitting way back, 500 seat auditorium, and I'm way back over there at the back corner. And all that crowd of people. And that preacher ate my lunch. I thought he'd been talking to her. I thought my wife was telling on me. I'm serious. He nailed my hide to the wall. He didn't know it. He didn't know it. Nobody knew it but me. But I knew it. I was under such conviction when I went home, I could not sleep. And my wife loves sleep. If you're going to sing all night, I was singing hymns that I knew. If you're going to sing all night, would you go in the other room to do it? And I went in the other room and looked at Eddie. He was not quiet. He liked 8 days being a year old. I cussed and drank and smoked, fought. I had a daddy. He did smoke. He didn't drink. He didn't cuss. He didn't run around on my mother. He didn't beat me or beat her. And I looked at that little baby. I loved that baby. And I said, if I turned out to my dad as I have, he doesn't drink, I drink. He doesn't cuss, I cuss. He doesn't run around. He doesn't do a lot of things that you think are smart to do. What's he going to be like? If the progression is from my daddy to me and from me to my son, how bad is he going to be? And in my mind, and you know, my modest way of saying things, is he going to be the devil himself? And I said, I am a sinner. Not that I didn't know it. Intelligently, I knew I was a sinner. But emotionally, that it convicted me? No, I thought that was what everybody did. And I began to pray. I did what a lot of the Pentecostals call praying through. I prayed for about 2.5 hours. Somewhere around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I was saved. I got up and went and woke that preacher up. He was not out of bed when I went to his house. You know what I told him? I said, I got saved this morning. I got saved. And I'm surrendering to preach the gospel. Wow. I got a change. Amen. Amen. Now, I had religion in several different churches. I had religion that didn't change me. When I got saved, I got some changes. Now, all my troubles weren't over, but oh boy, did I have a beginning. I knew Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. He was the Creator. He'd save you if you believed on Him and called upon Him. That He would not turn away a repentant sinner. No matter how bad you'd been, no matter what you'd done. If you would go to Him, He'd give you life. Wow, I found something out. Have you found anything out? I hope you have. I don't mean you have to be like me, not at all. But He ought to have changed you. And if He hadn't changed you, He probably hasn't saved you. And He's the only one that can. I have prayed for people. I have talked to people. I have witnessed to people. And didn't get them saved. Because they didn't get a hold of God. God didn't get a hold of them. I'm preaching today out of this book that says, I wrote it so that you could have life. I wrote this book. I'm going to tell you certain stories. I picked out 7 special doctrines. I've picked out 7 or 8 miracles. And every one of them I picked out are for one purpose. That you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and you might have life in His name. Isn't that something? That's so beautiful. That's so clear. He wrote this for evangelism. Not just to satisfy somebody's curiosity. He wrote this that you might be saved. Well, what is the most important thing for any human being? You were born and you're going to die. One way or the other. Some people die real young. I was watching an old movie and it had one of those young singers in it with John Wayne, and that singer didn't know that in just a year or two he was going to fly in a plane and get killed. And I don't know what his family was like and whatever. But I thought about it, how some people, I lived to be 82 and he lived into his 20s, I guess. Wow. There's people out there dying all over the place. You were born and you're going to die. But there is a soul inside of you, the you, your personality, your soul, the inside of you that's not your body. It's not a lot of other things. It's a special thing that you is an eternal being that will never cease to exist. That blow your mind? Blows mine. Blows mine. And we got 9 billion of them on the face of the earth today. And the count's changing every hour. Adding up, adding up. More old people are living older. More young people are saved in birth. And all of them going to die. And you were put here to meet God. And John says, I want you to meet Him. I want you to have life. And I wrote this book so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you have life through His name. Wow. I think that's a good introduction to a church, to a book. Amen. What is the date today? 28th? You know how to change this, Bill? It's wrong. On backwards. You want that? You don't think I need it? Thank you.